I spent one Sunday lunch with some musicians I used to work with when I was very young. They're quite advanced in years now. The fact the guy who named me Sting was a trombone player called Gordon Solomon. He was there, and a trumpet player called Ronnie Young. Ronnie.
Hello.
How are you doing, sweetheart?
How are you doing?
I'm so happy to see you.
Oh, I'm great to see you,
mate. Must be 35 years.
Yeah, must be. Hey, you haven't changed at all.
I haven't changed a bit. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Sting.
The thing is, it all started in this room. Jerry turned up one day to see the Newcastle Big Band, and the bass player was sick or something. And Jerry said, hey, I'll play the bass, and he went back to Jesmond to get his bass. Starts playing the bass. Then I turn up and go, hang on, Jerry's playing with the Newcastle Big Band.
It was your bass?
It was my bass, and he's a piano player. Anyway, then you got the gig with Phoenix and the Blue Star Club, where we met John. This is where we met John. So it all started here. The Big Band, the Phoenix, Last Exit, all started in this
room. Hello, Andy.
Andy, how are you doing? Sit down, we're just talking history.
Nothing good, I hope.
So Andy was the leader of the Newcastle Big Band. Gordon was the leader of the Phoenix Jazz Men, the illustrious.
Make the scene.
Ronnie was our singer and trumpet player. Gordon is the guy who named me Sting. Gordon used to make me sing a song that I hated with a passion every night. And he'd just announce it, knowing that I couldn't get out of it. And I used to have the song Never Ending Song of Love by the New Seekers.
That's right. Yes.
I loathed the song.
I know you did.
Oh, a young bass player, they want to sing. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, it was my favourite.
Yes.
Actually.
And
I could always remember your face when you got to the microphone, you're going. And you used to scowl as you got on the microphone.
I've got a never ending love for you. From now on, that's all I want to do. From the first time we met, I've got a never-ending love for you. And then there was a bridge. I think the presiding emotion I feel now as I get older and older is one of gratitude for my upbringing, for the people who taught me, for the people I was around when I was becoming a musician, the people who taught me at school. I just have a sense of gratitude, and coming home is a way of saying that. What was the name of the first drummer before Don?
Jimmy Stewart.
That's right, yes.
You used to make him do a solo, like a 20-minute solo while we went to the bar and had a drink.
Well, we used to forget about him, actually, didn't we?
Can you remember the time when they had the hook in the...
Shepherd's Crook, that's right.
It was one massive hook, you know, to get people off the stage.
It was for opening a window. You know the big hooks you could open a window up in the skylight with it? And Ian Heslop used it to pull him off the stage by his collar halfway during his drum solo. And he's desperately trying to fight it and still play at the same time.
But he'd be playing the drum solo, we'd be playing dominoes in the front, right?
Forgetting all about it.
We better get 3 pints. He's sweating like a pig, you know.
So I'd get a call.
We're doing next shorts.
At 5 o'clock on a Saturday night. Gordon would call me and say, we're playing in Peter Lee Workerman's Club, right? And 10 minutes later, it's changed. Now it's, we're playing in Hartlepool now. We've been double booked with a sword swallower or something. And some of those clubs we played were as rough as hell.
It was good grounding.
Scary.
It was good grounding.
You could play anywhere. But we had one hell of a time, didn't we?
Well, the best of times, as far as I'm concerned.
Super. Me too, actually. I learned a great deal from you guys from playing songs that I didn't know.
Well, that was what I was trying to say.
Trying to make them up, listening to where the changes were. And it's good for me to go back there and root myself there. It puts my feet on the ground. In fact, the whole going home thing definitely, it takes the mystique away. You know, I don't have any mystique here. People sit in the front row and they go, oh yeah, your dad delivered our milk, you know. So I don't have it, and that's good for me.
I used to come down here 1976, 1977, probably as an underage drinker, I think. I'm probably 17, scraping 18. And I used to come and see Sting and Terry Ellis and Ronnie Pearson and Jerry.
And Jerry. Yeah, we were a good band. We were a good band. I remember carrying Jerry's piano up and down those stairs.
And the Hammond as well.
And the Hammond organ. And then the PA. and we get it into my Citroen Diane, load it in the back, and then do two trips back to the flat. We live together. We used to get 100, 150 people in there, packed.
That's right, yeah.
Packed. Smoke, beer. We do covers, and then we started writing songs, and we'd compete. Like, we had to write a song every week, so we'd compete. And he'd write a great song, and I'd have to beat that.
Well, needless to say, I usually lost.
I was the singer, I had an advantage. I don't like the melody. I don't like those lyrics. Anyway, it was a good rivalry. It was a very intense time. To write a song a week is hard.